All right, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the beautiful Sioux Falls Park and Rec Falls Cafe, and we're delighted to be here today. It is Wednesday, December 18th, and this is the regular board meeting for the Park and Rec Department. Before we get started, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce our newest board member, Ms. Pam Hanneman. So, Pam, just delighted to have you with us and glad you can be part of this illustrious board.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. All right. We will move on to our first order of business with roll call. Mackenzie, can you help us determine a quorum?
Mike Begeman.
Here.
Mick Conlin.
Here.
Pam Hanneman.
Here.
Brooke Wagner. Teresa Cowles.
Here.
Jim Stavanger.
Here.
Justin Smith. Quorum is present.
Thank you, Mackenzie. All right, the next item is approval of the minutes from our October 30th meeting. I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved. Cowles?
Second. Stavanger.
All right, roll call. Mackenzie?
Begeman?
Approve.
Conlin?
Yes.
Hanneman?
Approve. Yes.
Cowles?
Yes.
Stavanger?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, next up is our time at the meeting where we have public comment, and I believe we have a couple of people that would like to make some comments to the board, so please come up, state your name, and what you would like to talk about.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah, you're talking for the camera, so you can speak up so we can hear you. Jim's the one that, he's got a little hard of hearing problem. He's old, but.
It's starting, I got 6 months left.
Able to cover all their basics on their income because you need at least over 200%.
fact, the school district is now trying to cover free lunches for kids up to a little bit over that, 215 or 230%, just with donations to go over what the feds will pay for. Because that is just such a struggle when your income is that low. And so when you look at your fee schedule for the swimming or whatever, all these facilities, you want to keep in mind that even the reduced price people are really struggling, and people just over that are struggling too. And we know that's what's going on in our city right now, because if you ever saw the food lines, food distribution lines, they're incredible in this city. And so some friends and I went to the food distribution lines all during June, and we gave out a handout to explain where the free lunch sites are during the summer and what the swimming fee schedules are, where to get your swimming pass, and what the that is possible to get a reduced price for the zoo, and a bunch of different things like that. We handed out because people didn't know, and they really appreciated getting that information. But what we saw in the process was so eye-opening, because there'd be a like sea of cars. Picture that big parking lot just on the east side of First Methodist Church downtown. That lot, sea of cars, they're packed right in next to each other because they pull away, they pull them out, they park. They park in lines right next to each other, so they just pull them out up to the truck where you get the food distribution. And it's just incredible to see that. And it's not the only one. There's about 20 different food distributions around town each month. Well, 11 of them operated by Feeding South Dakota, and others operated by different church groups and stuff. And it's just incredible, the need in our city and the food insecurity that's growing in our city. And it's not just people below those 200% of poverty, it's people just over that are struggling with higher prices. You probably feel it yourself, the higher prices. So I'm just making a plea for trying to reduce the prices and make the facilities in our city more accessible, not just accessible handicap-wise, you know, ramps and all that, and lighted doors and all that, but accessible to be more affordable, because these kids in the city own the pools. You know, they belong to all of us. Everybody's paying some kind of taxes. Everybody who lives here owns these facilities. And it's just heartbreaking to think about kids not being able to use them. Maybe their friends can go to the pool, and they can't go to the pool. Or whatever the facility is, there are lots of fee schedules now. And I saw the fees for the Westlake Recreation Center, and I was just horrified, they're so high. I mean, even the prices we have now for the pools this summer are so high. And someone had said, the reason I brought that up is Westlake, I heard someone saying that you're considering using those fees for other things. I don't know, what pools or whatever. But I just want to encourage you to make these facilities available. I remember when I, just last summer when I opened the skate park, that was so wonderful. And one of the things the mayor emphasized was how wonderful it is that it's free. He really emphasized that. And it's wonderful that a number of things are free here, but there are so many things that are not. And the kids, the things that children need. People need to swim in the summer. It's hot here, and that's a standard activity for kids in the summer. They should just be able to just go to the pool and enjoy it, whether it's indoor or outdoor. They should, somewhere how they should be able to get to the pool and swim every day. They shouldn't have to think in mind, do we have to afford it this week to go one day or something like that. Another thing I want to bring up is swimming lessons. It's really important for kids to learn to swim. Sometimes you see causes of death for black people ages 14 to 25 or something like that. And you'll see drownings on some of those lists, not just medical issues. You see car accidents and that kind of thing, but drowning shouldn't be on there. We're here, we're right by a river. We have a river in our town, and there are other things, abandoned quarries. I don't know if there's water in that one across over there. Is there something? There's water there. I mean, they're just, kids need to know how to swim. And you need to be able to take swimming lessons. And the price is $20 at the outdoor pool, $45 at the indoor pool. I don't know why it should be different, but it is. But kids need to swim, and you don't just take swimming lessons once. You need to take them every summer, because first you learn this, and then you learn that, and eventually you learn even life-saving skills. And there's a progression of the different swimming parts that you get. I remember that from being a kid. And we need to encourage people to swim, not learn how to swim. And it's just safer for everybody. And they can have more fun the rest of their lives and do it safely if they learn how to swim. And that should be somehow encouraged instead of discouraged with ease. So that's my plea to make our city facilities that are so wonderful, make them accessible, make them affordable. And right now they're not. I'm just making a plea. So I want you to understand that about the poverty lines. In fact, if you'd like, I can give, would you like a card with the poverty lines on it?
You can leave a couple, Kathy, if you want. I'm aware of them too. So you can leave a couple on the table and we can certainly take a look at them again.
That's what I'll do. Whoever wants them, I'll leave a couple here.
All right.
Thank you for considering this, and thanks for your service to the city. I know people don't always realize this. A lot of people do behind the scenes things like you're doing right there. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your input, Kathy. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. All right. Do we have another? Yes, we have another gentleman. Please come on up and state your name and let us know what you're on your mind.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Matt Walls. I'm the president of Sioux Falls, lifelong resident. I'd like to just echo some of the things that Kathy had said. She has a really big heart, and I appreciate that. As a kid, I remember swimming in the Sioux Falls pools. We were eligible to buy a $5 patch that you'd sew on the swim trunks, and you could swim all summer for $5. Now, for a family pass, we have a family of six. For a family pass, I think it's $300. It's never, we're not in the low income bracket, but we're just above that. My wife works at home, does homeschool for the kids, and stay-at-home mom. So we live on one income, and we're grateful to be able to do that, but to carve out an extra $300 in the budget for swim passes for the kids isn't an option for us. And I think a lot of families in Sioux Falls are in that same position. I'm not going to take too much of your time. I appreciate all you do. But I would like to encourage you to, whenever you can, resist fee increases, because I know there's a lot of pressure to continue to increase fees for different services. I'm with Kathy. I believe that kids in Sioux Falls ought to have full and unfettered access to all publicly funded recreational activities, regardless of income bracket. I know that's not always a reality, but if you can do the best you can to resist fee increases, and as you can, eliminate fees, be great. So anyway, thank you for all you do. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, next item, unfinished business. I don't believe we have any of that to deal with today. So new business, that'll bring us to our policies and guidelines. Brett, are you here?
Yep. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, good evening, Park Board. Brett Collars, Assistant Director with the Department, here presenting our annual review of our policies and guidelines for the system. Also provided a summary of the changes. You've got the full packet. Today I'll cover the summary of the changes from the previous version. Relatively minor on the whole, more important to the conversation we had around emerging trends and making sure we're staying ahead of that. I listed some of those at the bottom here. And as a group, as a department, we'll continue to keep an eye on those and, of course, involve you should we propose any change related to them. First change is we added structured language to the tent canopy policy located on page 4. Essentially added the clause of no structure resembling a tent or canopy, regardless of the material, is allowed without a permit. Second change is shelter reservations. current language has it limited to a four-hour time block to allow greater flexibility in that, some administrative control. We added a clause in there, essentially giving the director authority to extend beyond that four-hour time block should we see it necessary for whatever the use may be in that moment. Third one is a housekeeping item. We caught a reference to a community center still within the policies and guidelines. We are no longer operating in the community centers, so that needed to be removed. Fourth one, too, a housekeeping moment. Last year, we made changes to permitted use of e-bicycles on a recreation trail within the parks to include Class 2. We caught an instance where Class 2 was mentioned as a prohibited vehicle, so we wiped that clean now in the latest iteration. Last item is kind of keep tabs on an emerging trend here. We've got an increasing number of reservations made within our park system, namely at shelters. The prior policy allowed posting of signs up to 3 days prior to that event. With the increased use of these spaces, we're seeing conflict of signs being placed at the same time. A party who has it for Saturday may be coming in and putting up their sign on a Friday that competes with somebody who has a shelter reserved on a Friday. So that timeline back from 3 days prior to the event to a sign can be placed on the day of your event at the shelter. With that, I'd like to bring it for your approval today. I'm here to answer any questions.
Brett, I do have one question, specifically on the signage in the parks. Is that only related to shelter use, or is that park use generally?
That is our shelter reservations.
Okay.
Would it, Brett, I think questions that Teresa asked in committees is, you know, if we're having an event that's called, you know, for example, a Nike event, would this apply to that, or is this just related to shelters?
Sure, I can say the spirit of this was in shelters, but I didn't need to go back and clarify that it's represented accurately here. That's
right.
A fair point.
Because my only concern is when we've got some big events like Lifelight or Nike, or, you know, you've got big soccer tournaments,
right,
and things that day of doesn't make as much sense because you have people coming into town and they want to know what's happening, where they're going. They drive by the park and there is no signage. That may be more problematic ultimately than, you know, they start at 6 a.m. So putting the signs out that day isn't going to be enough to let them know what's happening.
That case is understood. The spirit of this was in the use of the individual shelter.
Sure. And
so I want to make sure that's accurately reflected in this iteration. I'll be doing that too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brett, would it be okay if it said prior to event? Could it say prior to a shelter reservation? Or is this in the shelter reservation section?
That's what I want to go back and look
okay.
at, the section that
All
it's right. in. I could paint the pages right now for this. I'm with you, Don. There could be some qualifying language if it's in the general portion or if it's within the shelter reservation, but it's probably okay.
Maybe that could be a condition on the approval is that it apply only to shelter reservations and not special events. And because I think the other thing we talked about in committee is that it also might be a spot that you want to avoid, knowing that there's going to be heavy traffic or whatever it might be. So I think that was the spirit of your question.
And it looks like it's under a more general impression, so I want to make sure we've got qualifying language in there to support our events and we don't get crosswise
yeah.
with ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
So yeah. Could we make that change here and approve it?
Sure.
We'll do make some conditional change. Yeah.
So just referencing the shelter events?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's only, what, probably how many big events are there? So this, I mean, it's pretty well defined if we can just separate out just as shelter events
yeah.
versus a, you know.
Shelter reservations.
Yeah. Maybe just subject to that amendment that it only apply to shelter reservations, then we can make that change.
That seems, I mean, that's a smaller area, and I don't know if we have any large scale events that are related to shelter reservations.
So. No, the shelter's typically reserved in relation to that, but it's not low.
Right.
So what if we just added the proposed sentence onto the end of the existing sentence and added in signs may be placed in a park only on the day of and a
shelter
event for shelter reservations and must be removed immediately following the event.
Yep.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Got all that, Mackenzie?
I hope so.
Okay. any other questions or comments for Brett? All right. Then I would entertain a motion to approve this based on the recommendation to reflect the reservation, shelter reservation. Is that close enough? All right. We'll go with that.
I'd move to approve subject to amendment on page 46, reflecting it addresses only shelter reservations.
I'd second that.
Okay. Mackenzie, roll call.
Begeman?
Yes.
Conlin?
Yes.
Hanneman?
Yes.
Cowles?
Yes.
Stavinger?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Brett. Okay, next item, I believe, is the moment we have to approve the slate of officers for next year. And there are three of us that are going to be in that second year, and I'm happy to say they all accepted their position. So I'd like to present that slate of officers with Mick Conlin, Teresa Cowles, and myself to be approved for next year.
I'll make that motion.
Got a motion?
Second.
Perfect. Roll call, Mackenzie?
Begeman?
Yes.
Conlin?
Yes.
Hanneman?
Yes.
Cowles?
Yes.
Stavinger?
Yes.
Thank you.
At least we're all here.
We're all here. We're glad that you guys are approving of us. All right, we'll move on to new business. Nope, wait a minute. We are Board of Directors. We're at for you, Don.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to give you a little update on what's been going on in the department. If you haven't been through Winter Wonderland yet, I think the guys do a better job every year of decorating. There's a lot of new features in the park that haven't been there before, and they always seem to bring it up a notch. So kudos to Josh and his team and all the folks that help decorate the falls. We've had tons of compliments about how it looks, and so just hats off to the entire crew that works on that. We did have a Delbridge working group meeting today, and that was the purpose of that meeting was to review the proposals for the statement of interest in the Delbridge collection. We had several what I'll call museums and education institution that expressed an interest in that collection. Some were interested in all of it, some were interested in only a few pieces, and others were interested in the majority of those items that were in good condition and felt like they were not necessarily beyond repair, that they could work on them and really restore them. And so Mick obviously is our representative on that working group. As a result of that review of the proposals, the working group moved to recommend moving forward with gifting the 117 of those items to the University of Notre Dame, who has an existing collection that they currently curate. And the other piece of that is that conditioned upon review of their, you know, financial ability to take care of it, a space to locate it, and just doing more due diligence around making sure that they are ready to accept the gift. And then for the balance of the collection, we were asked to go and talk to the other interested parties in the collection to find out what of the remaining items they would be interested in, realizing that some, even if it wasn't recommended for restoration, also expressed an interest in having those specimens so that there's an educational piece of it for folks that are in taxidermy or whatever it might be. We're gonna do some more due diligence on trying to get to a point where we can develop a resolution declaring those items surplus, and then ultimately formulate a recommendation in what we're targeting is mid-January, then ultimately bring that forward to the City Council for their consideration. Again, Mick was there at the meeting. Mick, what did I miss, or anything you would want to add with regard to that?
It was exciting to have good, what appear to be highly qualified requesters. And with, you know, kind of significant interests, I think we'll be able to hopefully move the entire collection somewhere to somebody. Even the pieces that, you know, were evaluated as not, you know, not worth the investment to restore them. So, so it was good. And, just do the additional due diligence to make sure that all of those parties have a plan, have space, you know, and we're not gonna ship these off and they're gonna end up, you know, sitting in cold storage for forever.
Is this the Fighting Irish Notre Dame?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was nice. They'd say they're in process of expanding their facility, and this would be a great addition to that collection. So
Found a home.
Hopefully, yeah. It looks that way. Yeah.
Well, I just want to take that this moment to thank Mick personally, because he we kind of gave him this obligation to get on that committee, and really appreciate your efforts on there.
Well, everybody's I think been really patient, and, you know, Don and Becky have been doing a great job of kind of getting us information and keeping things moving. So it's, you know, what I was thinking today is a really good slow decision is much better than a fast one that isn't so good. So I'm fine with it. If we get the outcome that it looks like we're going to get, it's a good thing.
Good. Well done. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and then just thanks to Catherine and Karen for their efforts too. Catherine's got a book about that thick on this thing, of her files and work over the years, and Catherine is in the throes as well, so appreciate their work as well. The other thing I want to share is that Mother Nature's not being very cooperative when it comes to outdoor rinks, as usual. We get an anomaly year every once in a while where we've got frigid temps that allow us to make ice, but just know that we are making ice. We're out there shooting the rinks as often as we can, but I think I heard somebody say we have 40 degree weather coming in, so all the work we put into it leading up to this will probably have to continue to start over. So normally we try to get to Christmas break on it, but it doesn't look like we're going to get there, and it may be after the first of the year or later before we're able to make ice that folks can skate on. So we're trying, but we need a little help. Levitt, just wanted to let you know that had lunch with Nancy today. She reported that they have achieved their fundraising goal for their expansion to the Levitt Shell. So exciting times, lots of community support for that project, and ultimately we'll be coming forward with a gifting agreement with the Levitt and the Levitt's Community Foundation to be able to affect that, and it'll be a great addition for them, really expand their ability to have offices, year-round programming, and educational opportunities like they do now in the summertime. So
when would they have a target start?
Yeah, the target start date is after the 2025 summer Levitt Concert Series.
Okay.
That they would try to, they're probably going to shift their schedule forward just a little bit.
So sometime starting next fall?
Yeah, I'm thinking August, September timeframe. So
off-season. Yeah.
Yep. And then it'll continue on through the year, through the season in 2025, but it'll be back of house and interior build out of the spaces at that point. So excited about that. Jacobson Plaza, I was just over there a couple days ago, walked through the building spaces. They're getting very far along in being able to build out the warming house and the event space. Last night we had a liquor license approved for the Washington Pavilion to be able to serve at that location. And the Washington Pavilion is staffing up, and also we're waiting on some equipment and things like that. So in the coming months, we hope to have some kind of soft opening that would allow them to start operating, maybe doing some events, some limited hours of operation, realize that we'll really ramp up in the summertime once everything gets completed. So. And then the other thing, we did share our recreation plan with the City Council last week, and they approved the recreation plans that were developed, just to outline what would be proposed for programming at both Frank Olson on the Westside Rec Center, and all by and large, we're pretty satisfied with what Jackie and her team have been able to come up with. And so, as of right now, the plan is to move forward on the 7th and the 14th for consideration of the Aquatics and Rec bond. So,
great.
We'll see what happens between now and then, but that's the information I have available to me as far as schedule on that. So that's what we've got going. Westside Rec Center, first day is January 2nd. Come on out, check it out, say hi to the staff once we get open. The staff have been doing a great job. I don't know that I've seen Jackie in the last 2 months because she spent most of her time between Midco with Gene being gone and at the Westside Rec Center getting all the preparations in place. Our team did a deep clean on the pool in cooperation with the Sanford Health employees, so I know that was very much appreciated. We're doing some cosmetic improvements, painting. We hope to have some carpet by towards the end of the year, first part of next year. And so doing some of the smaller cosmetic improvements, realizing that as part of the Aquatics Rec Bond, we'll have $3 million available to us to replace the roof, replace the parking lot, resurface the courts, and some of those other things that we hope to be able to get done with the $3 million that is part of that. So exciting times, our first foray into true indoor recreation space for our community. Couldn't be more excited, and it's been something we've had in our comp plan since 2020, and to think that it's going to happen here in the next couple weeks in real time, that'll be great. So we're excited about it.
On that bond issue, we're not borrowing back the $9 million.
Right, right. The council did not want to.
So we're just using the reserves
yep.
that we have.
So the question was, are we reimbursing ourselves for the $9 million? The council did not want to reimburse ourselves for the $9 million, and so the bond dollar amount right now is $68 million instead of $77 million because the $9 million is not currently proposed to be funded with the bond. So they just didn't want to pay ourselves back, essentially. So, other questions or comments or thoughts about what's going on in our world? It's been an epic year, I guess, for the lack of a better way to describe it.
You mentioned the ice rinks. Did I hear that we're not going to be able to open the ice ribbon this year?
Yeah, that's
construction delays.
Yeah, that's a good question. We were hopeful that we'd be able to have a little bit of a time to be able to experience it, to be able to flood it, to be able to have our staff operate it, to Zamboni, do all those types of things. But we had great weather for a long time this fall, and we were making great progress. However, with a cold snap that we've had recently, our ice consultant said that there have been some other projects where they poured in extremely cold weather and have had some problems with rinks, which further delays the project because things having to be torn out and redone. And if you've looked at the piping inside of that ice ribbon floor, you wouldn't want to mess with it again once you put it in. So. You know, we just out of abundance of caution didn't want to risk pouring in severely cold weather, and he strongly recommended that we not do that. And so we have a couple pours left that we'll do in the springtime, and as a result of that, obviously we're not going to be able to skate. But everything else is continuing to plug along. The contractor's working on getting the final connections put together for the chiller and the cooling system. They've gotten a lot of work done, so I'm thinking they'll go really good in the springtime to get that back open. But yeah, we were hopeful, but we just didn't want to risk it with the cold weather we got.
And then the Midco, is that on schedule?
The locker room?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Midco locker rooms, we're pushing the contractor to make sure that we keep him on track. I'm thinking by the end of the year, the women's locker room will be done. And open, and so that is kind of on the earlier stage. It'll be right up until there's a big swim meet coming up. It's the 24th, so we're pushing him. He's aware. I attended a recent meeting expressing the urgency of making sure that the facility was operable for that meet, and didn't say it had to look pretty, but it needed to function. So that's the message we've delivered to the contractor. And he says that's way my schedule shows it, but We're continuing to put pressure on them to make sure that we realize that, so.
I've had a few questions, so I'm like, you know what, I'll touch base and see where we're at.
Yeah, and I think we've got other meetings scheduled here with the swim team coming up, just to kind of, oh, you met today? Okay, very good. You weren't there, I take it, Teresa?
I was not.
Okay. Gave them a update, I don't know if we toured them or not.
Toured, gave an update, similar to your shirt right there.
Okay, I didn't mess it up, did I?
No.
Okay.
Good, you guys are aligned.
Yeah, hey! So that's what I've got. Other questions?
Anything else for Dot?
Looks like golf had an outstanding.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Golf was good. Really good. And, oh, I forgot.
Great Bear's open.
Great Bear's open early, you know, it's just like a bonus year. And I forgot to mention Elmwood. That has come along well. The roof is essentially, it's been all framed, the roof is on. They've got the tieback on the outside. They're starting to frame up the first tee building now. So by the end of the year, they should be fully enclosed, working on interior spaces. It's starting to shape up now, so. And they're on schedule, and really no hiccups so far. It's a little risky when you're digging up garbage to build a building on top of it, but over-excavated everything, brought in compacted fill, leveled it all the way up to the top, let it set for a week to make sure there's no settling, contractor-related methods just to make sure we don't have any problems down the road, and it's going to be a phenomenal facility, and one I think you'd have to go far and wide to see where you would have a state-of-the-art clubhouse, a 27-hole golf course, a Fast Five, a First Tee headquarters, a South Dakota Golf Hall of Fame, all on the same campus. So we're really excited about what that'll look like. And as a reminder, that's an October completion date for that facility. So, and Hague Construction, they've been super, what I'll call responsive and very conscientious in how they're going about delivering that project for us. So,
congratulations to you and the team for an epic, I like that word.
Yeah.
Epic year.
Yeah, and hats off to our entire team, especially the rec team, Brett and all the other, I mean, legal, IT, finance, IT, I mean, the list goes on and on, the number of departments have been involved in it, but if you see some tired faces out there, you'll know why. So, thanks for that.
All right, thanks, Don.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we have a couple more items. I don't believe we have any readings or communications. I would like just to mention, I really want everyone to know this body and your staff, Don, we work hard, or you guys work hard, to make sure that we're providing facilities and providing opportunities for people and kids. Those public comments don't go unnoticed, and I want everyone to understand we appreciate the diligence that your team does in trying to make those things affordable, and we will continue to do that and do what we need to do to make sure that happens. So we just wanted to make that comment. Lastly, welcome again, Pam. Appreciate having you here, and Merry Christmas, everybody. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Alice.
Anybody second? We need a second? All right, I believe we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Pam, hope you come back next time.